brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Softweb Radio, special operations military news, and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Softweb Radio. Softweb on time, on target. We bring you the best of what's going on in the world of the military, as well as current affairs, political stuff. We have some upcoming interviews with former soldiers, sailors, and airmen who are running for office. So during this election time of the year, that's always some interesting stuff. But today we're going to be talking about some comedy. As many of you might remember, a couple of months ago, we wrote a story about a bunch of veterans who go by the old adage, laughter is the best medicine. And Vets TV is probably not everybody's cup of tea, but for those of you who have actually been in the military, and you know the kind of dark humor, sometimes that impertinent kind of humor, how's only military people can poke fun at themselves, and they usually do a very good job of it. And Vet TV is one of the best, I think, one of the best examples of that out there. We talked about Vet TV a couple of months ago. As I mentioned, it was the brainchild of a former Marine captain, and he's a wounded warrior himself, Donnie O'Malley. He spent 6 years as an infantry officer, rifle platoon commander, before he finished his career with the Wounded Warrior Battalion. And as O'Malley wrote about himself, he was medically retired due to weak bone structure and chronic sand in his lady parts. So with that, we're going to bring our guest on, because Vet TV has a new actor and director. That they've brought in. I've watched some of his videos. I encourage everyone to check it all out. His name is Matthias. I hope I'm saying that correctly, Matthias Kinker.
Yeah.
And with that, we want to welcome him to the podcast. Matthias, thanks for joining us this morning. I know it's early at your time out there in California.
No, it's not. It's not. It's 10 o'clock. But I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so it, as always, when it comes to the acting genre and directing, most people take a kind of direct approach, like all the other guys on Vet TV. You took the long approach. You actually joined the military first. You spent, I believe it was 10 years in the Marines. And so tell us a little bit about growing up. I believe you were born in Cleveland, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was Cleveland, Ohio, is where I was born. And then, I was raised near Akron, though. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because growing up, I had relatives in Cleveland. We used to go out there all the time. So I know that area a little bit. I'm not going to say I know it well, because it's been quite a few years. But It's a tough place. It's made for tough people out there. So what possessed you to join the Marine Corps?
Let's see here. I think some of it had to do with some of my close friends that I had growing up. Their names were Ravon and Rashawn, and they wanted to join the military. So I was like, you know what? I'll do it. I'll do it too. But we made that decision, when we were young. Like 10, 11, we knew that we wanted to join. So took me, it was a long time before I could actually make it happen, So at that age, I knew I wanted to join at like 10, 11 years old, but I couldn't leave until I was 18. I even tried getting my mom and my dad to sign off on some paperwork to have me, get sent earlier, but they said no to that.
As most parents do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I was 13, I decided I wanted to join the military. And I told my parents that, they were just like, and my father had served during World War II, and they were just like, oh no. No. So, yeah, but, you know, I'm a little bit older than you are, so I'm kind of dating myself there. But,
gotcha.
But yeah, you joined the Marine Corps. You ended up, I saw one of your videos, and it was really good. We just talked about being stationed in Okinawa, and it wasn't a favorite place of yours.
No, I did not like that deployment whatsoever.
Yeah, it's funny because I know some, my career was Army SF, and First Special Forces Group has some guys out in Okinawa, and all those guys to a man loved it out there. And then I saw your video, and it didn't strike a chord with you and Oki, huh?
No, not at all, especially being on Camp Schwab out of all the places to be on. And then, you know, our Libo was always taken from us because, you know, people act stupid, ruin it for the rest of it. So I just spent a lot of time just on, you know, within the gates of Schwab. It was awful. I was actually looking forward to go training, you know, to go train at any of these various places, but a lot of those things even got canceled due to whatever the case may be. But I'm like, okay, there's no Libo, and like, I can't even train. Okay, well, now I just hate it.
So you spent 10 years in the Corps. Obviously, you know, you went up to become an NCO, and you experienced a lot of different things. What was the worst duty assignment you had? Was it Oki, or was it your time in Afghanistan?
What was worse?
Mm.
Oh, Oki. I would have loved to be back in Afghanistan. I will say though, the best deployment by far and the most fun was Spain. Yeah.
Oh, really?
That was a lot of fun.
And then you ended up at Camp Pendleton, I take it. Now that you're living there now, because I believe your wife is still in the Corps, right?
Yeah, she's still in. Yeah, we moved out here in 2018. She got orders out here after she became a career planner. And I, at that point in time, I had spent 7.5 years on Lejeune. So, you know, mm-hmm. it was definitely time for a different place. But, yeah, I got sent out here after we got our orders. And I went to Etsen Range to go teach recruits Table 2 combat marksmanship.
I remember my time going through, you know, boot, and the guys who taught marksmanship, at least in the Army, hated their job because they had so many knuckleheads coming through. I mean, and some of the guys I went through boot camp with should have never been allowed to hold a rifle at all. Never mind, you know, putting live rounds down range. And some of those guys are just awful, you know. And I remember those the guys who ran the ranges back in that time, you know, they were being stressed out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what possessed you to decide that, you know, acting, because that's a big career change going, you know, from being a Marine to an acting director. Was it something that was always in your mind, or did this just pop up for you?
Yeah, so you're right. It is a huge career change, especially, you know, 9 years, 10 years in the Marine Corps. You know, I was good at that. So it was a hard decision to make, to get out and just pursue something completely different. But I mean, I've always liked making people laugh. So that kind of started out. I used social media platforms to make that happen, and Vine was the first thing that I used. Is six like really short 6-second clips, you know, and I would come up with like these different skits to do, and the challenge was doing something that was going to make someone laugh, you know, hard within, you know, 6 seconds. So it started out there, and then, you know, my friends told me that I had an act for it, and you know, I was hilarious. And what if you just take this to a different level, man? How about you become a filmmaker? Now, this was back in, I would say, 2014. when my friend's the one that planted that idea in my head is become a filmmaker, because I mean I love doing that. And I would just shoot on my phone and edit on my phone, and I had to teach myself a few things. But then, you know, after he brought that up, or after he mentioned it, I was like, nah, there's no way. I can never be a filmmaker. I can never act. I can never do that. This is just for fun, you know? And it was a hobby. That's what it was. And then as the, you know, as time passed, I continued to do, to make these videos. Vine went away. So then I moved to Instagram. Then I moved to YouTube, and I just continued to, you know, make these things, with some friends that didn't mind acting a fool in front of the camera. but then, you know, I never forgot what he said. And then, I made the decision to really pursue filmmaking probably 2.5 years before I got out. And so that pretty much that first year I spent studying. That's what I did. I just spent my time studying and learning. And then that second year, I set out to actually make films. I made my start making my own short films and whatnot. During that point in time, I was actually in Okinawa, and I came across Veteran Television, and I was looking at all their content, and I was like, you know what, I could do that. And that's what I told myself. I'm like, I could do that. I could do that. And how awesome would it be to work with these guys? Like the dark comedy is something that I love. And so I just reached out to Donnie O'Malley. I sent him a DM. I'm like, all right, there's no way he's going to even see this or even respond, you know? And he did. He looked through all my content. He told me that I had a lot of potential. There's a lot of talent there. I understood comedy. We always are looking for writers and, you know, everything else. But the thing is I know Donnie tells a lot of people this, especially if they're interested in filmmaking. And the difference between myself and most of these other people that he talks to, I'm sure, is the fact that I stayed consistent with it. So he told me everything I needed to work on, what I needed to study, who I needed to watch, and all this other stuff. And I did that. I just kept going. And I would, you know, touch base with him. Hey, Donnie, I did this, this, and this. I learned this. Like, now, you know, I'm starting on this now. What do you think about this? Just picking at his brain every step of the way. And then once I felt as if, you know, I learned as much as I could, because I was just teaching myself YouTube videos, just Googling things and whatnot. And then I was like, okay, well, I got to go out and do this. So you're not going to really learn until you do, especially in filmmaking. So, I mean, you want to be a filmmaker, you got to go out and make films. So then I started making short films. After each one I'd make, I'd bring it back to Donnie and whoever else over at BetTV, and have them look it over, give me some good constructive criticism, you know, giving me good notes about what I need to change, work on. Then I'd set out to make another one. And I made 7 short films. I made 7 of them, one of which I actually entered into some film festivals. It's getting a lot of recognition, so that's pretty cool. And then at that point in time, after I made all my short films, you know, I was getting out of the Marine Corps at that time. And then, you know, I had already established this relationship with Donnie and a lot of other people at BetTV, and Donnie had been talking, saying many good things about me and whatnot. And, you know, I got the job. He hit me up. He's like, hey, listen, we're going to contract you out. And we want you to start writing a series called Meanwhile in the Field. And it's going to be, you know, just all the hilarious moments and funny things that happen while.
You're saying that. I saw the teaser trailer for that. And I mean, again, I think a lot of this dark humor is all absolutely riveted in truth, because just from the trailer that I saw, we all remember seeing crazy stuff like that, right? Am I telling it? I mean, that's what makes it, I think, so.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many. I have, you know, it's so many stories there. It's been a lot of my time out in the field, you know, in the infantry. So, and then anyone else, like, so, I mean, the series is Army and, you know, Army infantry. But honestly, if you've ever been to the field, you can relate.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Doesn't matter what ranch or whatever.
And Johnny Place, you're, I guess it's your platoon sergeant. So, I mean, and I'm thinking back to this because of that trailer, and I cracked up. You know, oh, airborne, fucking airborne, or something. It's like, yeah. I mean, how many NCOs have we met that are exactly that way?
Yep.
And I mean, it was really good. But going back to what you were just talking about. So you're basically, you taught yourself filmmaking. You didn't go to school for that.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I did not go to school, for it. And, you know, a lot of my research that I had seen is a lot of people question whether or not film school is worth it. And now I do think it's worth it. I will more than likely go eventually, but I mean, I've had some friends that were going through film school as they saw me working with Vet TV. And one of the funniest things someone said to me, one of my friends was like, I'm sitting in a class right now learning lighting. And she looked at one of my posts on Instagram. She's like, you're sitting there doing it in real life. You know? So, mm-hmm. yeah, because it's like, you, I don't know, you, it's got to go out and do it.
I mean, education is a wonderful thing, but there's no substitute for, you know, experience. And it's just like the military. I mean, we can train and train and train, but until you actually go out and do your job, you know, that's when you actually start learning how to do it, right?
Exactly. Yes, 100%.
But one of your short films that you made, I watched it last night, and I watched it again this morning. Blind Date. It was another one. I mean, that was really good because we've all been there, right? I mean, we've all been there. You try to set up your friend with somebody, and then they just panic and, I mean, completely show their ass. Am I right?
Ruin everything.
That was really good. And your two co-stars were excellent in that as well.
Yeah, they were. I really liked that one.
Now, had you worked with those folks before, these friends of yours? Or?
No. So that was a whole nother thing too. So the only person that I worked with consistently over and over again was the director of photography, Brody mm-hmm. Best. So, you know, I would tell him, I would come to him with three different, I would just come to him with scripts. And then, you know, he'd tell me, he would guide me, tell me like how I needed to go about, you know, looking for actors and actresses and anything else, shoot locations and wardrobe and all that other stuff. And, you know, doing it on your own, it forces you to really learn every aspect of filmmaking. So I always casted from San Diego. And I just used Facebook pages, Facebook groups, and I would put out a casting call like, hey guys, you know, doing this is what it's about. If you're interested, email me headshots, resumes, and reels if you have them, you know. And then I would, you know, have to sit there, and then you play the role as a casting director now. So now I'm like looking through all these emails that I got and seeing who wants to do what. A lot of people in San Diego are just looking for to build their to build the skill up. LA mm-hmm. is a little different. LA is a little different. I feel like everyone out in LA thinks that they've made it. Whereas the community, the acting community out here in you know, in San Diego is a little different. They more than happy just to work for credits, you know what I mean? Just get the experience.
Yeah. Now the people that work at Vet TV, I know the actors are all veterans of all the different services. The people behind the cameras, are they a lot of veterans as well? Or are those just young filmmakers?
There are a lot of veterans at Vet TV. Not everyone is though, mm-hmm. but majority, yeah.
I think that's awesome. I mean, for veterans who are looking to get into that, you know, realm, that's a great place for them to look to. I mean, because a lot of it, again, watching some of the clips from Vet TV and, you know, your trailer for the upcoming Meanwhile on the Field, you know, a lot of it is not really acting because it's stuff we've all acted out in real life, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely.
So, you know, do you have a favorite? I know you've done quite a few short films. Do you have a favorite one?
Of that I made? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have to say Social Outcast. That's the so whenever I first set out to make my short films, I had this story in mind, and like I said, it's called Social Outcast, and I started writing it, and it was so long, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. That was my first script that I was writing and everything. And then this one, I told myself, well, I eventually found out that this one, I was like, okay, this is more of a passion project, and I need to start with something much smaller, you know, because I was looking at the number of pages that I had, which I ended up having to trim down anyways, but it was like 50 pages already. Like, yeah, I can't set out to make a film like this. I don't know what I'm doing. So, you know, I started out with something, you know, much smaller. And then I made each film a little bit more complicated as I went. And then by the time I felt good enough to write Social Outcast, I was probably that was a while later. It was a long time. Like, it was like a year since I first wrote it. And I rewrote the script several different times while I was still making these other short films and teaching myself and learning and whatnot. So, yeah, got to a point where I was comfortable enough to film my passion project. And then that's the one I'm like, okay, cool. This is going to be done at the beginning of January. And I'm not going to make a short film all of 2020. I'm not going to make another short film. I'm just going to enter this one into film festivals. And that's what I've been doing. And like I said, it's been getting a lot of recognition. And as I'm glad it is, because, you know, took a lot of effort to put that one together.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And, you know, so meanwhile in the field, that's getting, I mean, complete. So now that's getting ready to be released on Vet TV. Is it not? Is that next week that it comes out?
Yep, September 9th.
I can't wait to watch that one because, as I said, and I encourage all our listeners out there, if you haven't done it yet, check out Vet TV. You know, for all of us who've been there, I mean, because it's all based in fact. I mean, yeah, you sometimes say the guys, you know, you play it a little bit over the top, but we've all seen that stuff. And I think that's what makes the military so compelling to people, because we have a very serious job, as everyone knows. Anyone who's been there knows it's a serious business we're in. But there's times, and there's a lot of times, even in times of, you know, you're out in a combat situation, some crazy shit happens. And, you know, I mean, and we all have to admit it, right? The military has some compelling characters in there.
Yes, indeed. And so it's really hard.
And a lot of those guys are now working at Vet TV.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, with Vet TV and recreating these stories from, you know, the audience and whatnot, because there's so many crazy things that happens, like you said, in the military, and there's many different characters and whatnot, and it's... We just take that and run with it.
Yeah.
Let's go. It's really about, you know?
Yeah. Really. Well, and that's what's so good about it is because, you know, for those of us who've been in the military, and it's going to resonate because we've all seen exactly, you know, this type of situation. And I think that there's going back, I mean, you know, I'll go back to the days of my boot camp. I think all good military instructors have a little bit of comedian in them. because they can tell you you're the lowest form of life on earth, and they'll make it to where you're trying not to crack up laughing. And I remember that because I had a hard-ass drill sergeant. And I used to say I thought he was Richard Pryor's cousin because he would call me every name in the book, and I'd be biting my lip trying not to laugh. And, you know, because, I mean, he was hilarious. And one of my good friends at the time was a country kid from Carolina. He could never stop from laughing. And you know what happens when you laugh, and then you pay the price. So, but I always remember him. And funny thing, years later, I think it was maybe 10 years later, I ran into my old drill sergeant. Mm. And I started talking to him, and he remembered me and the kid that could never stop laughing. And he was like, yeah, that was the kid with the howdy doody face that could never stop laughing. I remember that. And I see, yep. And he goes, you know how hard it was for me to keep a straight face looking at you, knuckle? And,
yeah, I love that.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. So,
yeah.
Anyway, enough about me. So what's next on for you? You just finished this project. Do you have something online now coming up that you're planning on?
Yeah, I do. I'm actually, so, you know, this whole COVID-19 thing is really just been difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, has that impacted you guys and your filming?
No, it hasn't. We can't. So that's what I was going to go into, is that we can't, you know, we're not doing our larger productions, like mm-hmm. the big ones, say A Grunt's Life, through, you know, Recruiters, these other larger productions, we had to postpone, you know, and push to the right. But we still had to, you know, we want to release content to the to our audience every week still. So, you know, what we did was, I mean, we're pretty much self-sustaining. We use our in-house actors. We have writers, directors, actors, you know, director of photography. We have editors, we have, you know, producers, all that stuff. So we basically, what we have to do now, and that's what Meanwhile in the Field was, you know, it was same thing with maybe Drone Boys. I don't know. But just smaller productions, you know, skeleton crew. We don't want very many people on set. They don't have to be, things like that. So, but with how, you know, COVID has impacted us in that way, with us not being able to do our larger shows, we got people, you know, our audience is asking us, like, when A Grunt's Life Season 2 is, you know, coming out. Because, you know, they love that. That's my favorite scene.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, and, you know, the Meanwhile in the Barracks, was that filmed on a military installation?
No. I don't believe it was.
Because it looks like one.
I actually know Season 2 of Meanwhile in the Barracks was actually filmed at our office.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, the way they had it set up, it actually looks like a military installation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's awesome. That is awesome.
But so basically, what Donnie wanted me working on next is giving the audience something for, you know, A Grunt's Life. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start writing these, you know, micro content sketches that are dealing with Lieutenant Murphy and his platoon before the deployment that they're getting ready to go on, and that we will see them on in Season 2.
So, oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to the creative process, do you guys write separately or do you guys write together?
We do write together. We usually have the head writer and then the secondary writer, and there could be a third as well. And, but, the, you know, the head writer is the one that's actually doing the writing and whatnot. And then we bring on consultants and whatnot. So for Meanwhile in the field, you know, I'm Marine Corps infantry. You know, I'd imagine the Army infantry's culture isn't too much, you know, different than ours. But I didn't know anything about the 82nd Airborne, and I didn't know anything about the 101st Rockassons. So I had to talk to people, you know, and put it up. We created an Army infantry Vet TV Facebook group. Got a whole bunch of people in there, and then you know, as I'm pulling information from the audience, from them, I found the ones that were really giving me the most feedback. And then I would bring them on as a consultant. I'm like, okay, cool. This right here, these are the stories that I have in mind. This is what I want to do. Would you guys say this, or how would your platoon commander act in this situation, or how would the squad leader, or what are your junior, you know, enlisted like? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then,
again, I don't think it's that big a difference. I mean, some of the jargon might be a little different between the Corps and the Army when it comes to the infantry guys, but
that's about it.
Yeah, grunts are the same everywhere. And then when it comes to that dark humor, I mean, there's, you know, you have to have a thick skin. You do. I mean, if somebody messes up, you know, you're going to hear that person's going to hear it for a very long time until somebody else messes up.
So. Uh-huh. And even still, that you might have to look out like that.
Yeah. And it's like, I was in Special Forces, and later on to the eternal regret, they made me an officer. So, you know, my guys would always harp on me. I mean, you know, rank had no privilege in SF. So, you know, guys would, dig on you hard as just everyone else. So you just had to learn how to deal with it. And then you just dig on everyone when it's their turn. That's the way it works.
Yep.
But no, this is great. I, to our listeners out there, if you haven't checked out Vet TV yet, you really need to do so, because it's really, really well done. It's very, very funny. And they have a lot of really talented people there. And Matthias is one of those talented people that's on the show there, and we look forward to hearing a lot more from you in the very near future. So before we wrap this up, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Let's see here. Well, be on the lookout for me while on the field. It's dropping next week.
Yeah, that gets released September 9th.
September 9th.
On Vet TV. Yeah, on Vet TV. And,
subscribe if you haven't.
That's the only way. Yes, if you haven't subscribed to Vet TV, I think it'd be in your best interest to do that. I think you'll enjoy it. It's really, really good stuff. And we look forward to hearing a lot more. And yeah, I look forward to seeing some of you more. If you do any independent short stories, I look forward to seeing those again. Like I said, I love the way. I haven't checked out Social Outcast yet, so that'll be next on my agenda. But I also like Bad Time to Be at Homie's House. So, and when your boss don't care,
yeah.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to some more of those. So, thanks for taking the time today. I really appreciate it. I know you have some stuff lined up this afternoon, so we didn't want to take too much of your time up. But
no, it's all good.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks for being on Software Radio, and please do keep in touch with us and let us know how you're doing. And we'll be watching and expecting great things from you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
It was our pleasure. So, folks, thanks for listening. This has been Steve Balistrieri, Matthias Hinkert. You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio on Time on Target. We'll be back with another episode in the very near future. So keep tuned, folks.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio.